Samuel today, chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm preaching to you from a pastoral perspective. I've got to learn to separate that in evangelism. It's two different things, and they're two different messages. Amen. Two different things. So, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Good to see visitors, and I'm still trying to distinguish who's visitors and who's not. So, if you are a visitor here this morning, God bless you. You're welcome back here anytime. You know, we do care about you and your welfare of your soul. I want to see you make it, amen. I want to see God move in your life. And if you're just a church member, I appreciate your faithfulness. God bless you. We appreciate you. 1 Samuel 17, when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
1 Samuel 17, verses 34. I'm going to start there at verse 34 and read probably through 37. I touched on this recently preaching here, but I'm going to go a different direction with it. And this is what David is saying to Saul. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of God. And I'm going to stop there reading today, but I want to deal with those in verse 35 there, and I went after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. And with the Lord's help for a few moments this morning, I'll try not to take too long. I want to preach on the testimony of the shepherd. The testimony of the shepherd. And I had some other titles. I thought about going with Bear Hunter or whatever. But this is just really from my heart this morning, come to you as a pastor. And just what I feel is fitting for you to understand what I feel God has deposited into my spirit, to what I am to do here. Amen. So just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you. Oh, Father, you're being so good to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this pulpit, this opportunity, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for the work that is accomplished here already. Lord, we thank you for Brother Glenn, for this church, for this congregation, Lord. What an opportunity it is to work in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, Lord, to feel your anointing and your presence to go forward in the will of God. We thank you today. We're looking for you to meet with us here. Lord, to be a sinner in the building. Lord, I would that they run to the altar. They'd make it right with you. God, it to be oneness with them. I would that you change the heart and mind, Lord. Let it be a touch from heaven. We would in the name of Jesus, you would help us, God. Anoint these lips of clay, God, and we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. It takes no special introduction here today to deal with the story and the setting of 1 Samuel chapter 17. We know that this is the part of the Bible that you will learn from Sunday school, the story of David and Goliath. We know this. And it takes little imagination to conjure up this dramatic scene, which I presented to you and read to you this morning, of David defeating this lion and this bear. I know it's been preached in so many different ways and different levels, and I know there's been so many good sermons, but this morning with the Lord's help today, I want to come to it from a pastoral perspective, and I want to preach to you on this testimony that David had. Simply what David was doing here, we know the story that Goliath every day was going out in the valley of Elah. Israel was at a standstill, and we know the story that here, we know David's there, he begins to say, how come, why is it that this uncircumcised Philistine is defying the army of God? Why is he defying the name of God? And we know that David had people get mad at him and say, I know what you've come to do. You're prideful. You've come in just to show up and all this. And David looked around and simply said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for somebody to be worked up, so to speak? Is there not a cause for there to be a preacher with a burden in his spirit? Is there not a cause for a congregation to have a burden to want to see the lost? Is there not a cause in these last days? You have to answer and say with me, amen. And say, there is a cause. You would say there is reasons to be. They want to rise up and do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. David simply, we know the story. He ends up getting an audience with King Saul at that time. And this is what happens. Saul is pretty much looking at him. And Saul is wondering why he thinks he has the confidence that he can go against a giant. That he can go against somebody. He says something like this. He says, David, you are but of use. And this man Goliath, has been a man of experience. He's been a man of warfare. No doubt he's been trained up. No doubt he knows how to throw a spear. No doubt he knows how to handle a
is doing. So here, not only is David facing a giant, but he's facing two new avenues of life. First thing is this, David is a young man. Yes, he's never been to the battlefield, so to speak. Yes, he's never entered into that level of ministry. Yes, he's never been through that before. And the second thing that he is facing, David is looking at inexperience. He realizes that he's never done this before. Maybe he's never shot a bow. Maybe he's never wielded a sword, so to speak. So David is facing two things for today. David is young, and David is inexperienced, so to speak. I want to tell you, I'm doing the same thing this morning.
Amen. Amen.
I know I'm young. I know this.
Amen.
And one of the things that I have fought probably in the process of being young and pastoring, it is something I've had people call me even recently and say, you're too young. Don't do this or do that. And they say, look, you're inexperienced. There's people that's been there, been married longer than you. I think that's always the case, isn't it? When I'm married 20 years, somebody says to me, married 40. Come on. And so on, so to speak. So I understand that David here was facing something. And he had no doubt Saul in the army was looking at David and said, where are you conjuring up this confidence? Where are you pulling this from? You understand you've never done this before. I want to tell you, friend, we are facing giants in this society. You have to understand, we may not be facing a physical giant. We may not be facing somebody that's 9'11", so to speak. But we are facing giants of homosexuality. We are facing giants of lust. We are facing giants of all different pride and all the different things that we are beginning to look at. There's so many different things that we are facing. There's different areas that we are coming into. We're facing religion and worldliness and laziness. And one of the worst enemies we are facing is the flesh.
Yes. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll never be a more violent person than a carnal person. You won't. You say, well, I've seen some pretty mean people. Well, preaching a little bit, I've learned you touch on somebody's carnality and they're coming out the corner.
Uh-huh.
They are. Hey, man, you tell somebody that's in sin. You tell somebody that's in a bad situation and you see danger ahead. And all you simply got to say is, look, you need to look at this and you need to read the Bible. And I mean, they're swinging fists, spiritually speaking. I mean, they're doing everything they can to come out of it. So, yes, I am young today and maybe inexperienced, so to speak. But I would like to tell you that there's a testimony of shepherds that have been gone by. There's testimonies of other Glenn Joneses that have pioneered churches. There's testimonies of people that have faced seas. There are testimonies of people that have come to impossible odds. It looks like things are no way that they can make it. Understand this today. Even though David was young, maybe in some aspect, David had a defense. He said, I may be young, but I want to tell you, I've experienced a few things. I've been on a few roads. I've seen a few different areas in life. I feel that God can do something. Hear me today. I'm preaching to you from my heart. This man named David had a testimony. He said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. He would say, I believe you, David. I know you can do it. I know God can help you do this. I want you to understand here today, because shepherding and pastoring in Scripture, they go hand in hand. We understand that our great example, Jesus Christ, when you read in the book of John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You'll find in John 10 and 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and known of mine. You'll find in 1 Peter 2 and 25, for ye are a sheep that are gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. So we understand this morning, that Jesus Christ is that master commander shepherd. He is the one that is the head of this church. He is the one that is the head of this world. Understand this, we are the body of Christ collectively here today, and with other churches that believe like faith. Understand this today, we have a master shepherd, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have a right that if I ever preach anything other than the Word of God to come to me and say, your master shepherd didn't say that. I'm taking orders this morning, is what I'm trying to say. I stand here before you as human. I stand here before you today knowing that I need God's help. And all I can look at you and say is, I'm trying to refer to headquarters as much as possible. I want you to get this in your spirit. I'm trying to just show you this morning that yes, I know I'm taking this position as pastor, but there is a master shepherd. There's one that is above me. There's one that I must take orders from. When you read throughout Scripture, you'll find Jesus is the Master Shepherd. But then we know that when He's about to leave, He is 40 days showing us infallible proofs after the resurrection. He looks at Peter with His famous words and says, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? We know that Peter three times He said, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. But the Lord also said something else unto him. He said unto Peter, feed my lambs. He said, feed my sheep. He said, feed my sheep. He was saying, look here, Peter, you are to give your life for the sheep, just as I have left an example, just as I have paved the way. I'm trying to show you that you are the shepherd, the sheep of God. Amen.
Now, preaching this morning, I know I'm comparing you to sheep, but don't be offended. I'm a sheep myself.
Amen.
Amen. So anything I say to you this morning applies to me as well.
Amen. I don't want to compare you to an animal and not put myself in the category, if you know what I mean.
Amen.
But when dealing with this category of sheep, the very first point I want to touch on this, on the testimony of David, three things we can glean from this is the first thing is this, that sheep are always at risk. Always.
Talking to myself here again, don't get offended. Sheep are dumb. Amen. They are.
Sheep are not, it's not, you know, I thought to myself, you know, the Lord says, you know, wolves, He refers to wolves in the New Testament and all this. I said, why couldn't we get a better name? I'm a sheep. I ain't got no teeth. I don't have no claws. I'm defenseless. That's what God wants you. What does the Bible say when your enemy rails on you? Bless it. It refers to the fact of being somebody. You know, to be defensive. You know what God wants from us today? He's not looking for my ability. He's not looking for this or that. He's simply looking for you to look to depend upon the shepherd. He's not looking for anything else. You say, Brother Jack, I don't know if I have that ability. I don't know if I have that strength. I don't know if I have that intellect. He doesn't want you to have that. He may bless you with some good things, but the main thing He wants from you is for simply for you to lead on the shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. He's the shepherd. Jesus is. Hear me today. Sheep are always at risk. We are compared to sheep that is a defenseless creature. I know it's not the best side of the thing, but Psalms 103 says this, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That is what we are today. We are simply here. We are the sheep of His pasture.
Now I want to touch on this for a few moments this morning on the fact of how to protect the sheep.
Now I need your help. I'm a shepherd, but I need help this morning. Because understand, the very first avenue of a shepherd, and I've done some studying before, the very first thing that a shepherd and what I am called to do, you have to help maintain the sheep's diet. Understand that this morning, that when you read through the Bible, and Psalm 23 says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This is the idea of a shepherd, speaking from a shepherd's perspective. He said, He makes me lie down in green pastures. This was the idea that shepherd would lead his flock to this place of greenness, to that place where it feels like they can be nourished. You would understand in the time of the Old Testament that they often had to seek new pastures to express time grazing and let the Lord pastures bare, so they must seek new fields. I want you to get this today. So what a shepherd would have to do when everything else was barren on ground level, when everything else was nothing there, he had one thing he could do. He had to lead his sheep higher. Come on.
I don't know about you. I look around in the level of the world. It's barren.
You may find a sinner every now and then who's got a good heart, but give him a few days and it's, I mean, I'm just saying, it's barren.
Amen.
There's one thing I desire for this church. As I look around and see all that's going on and see the barrenness that we are faced with, there's one thing I desire to do. I desire to lead you to higher ground. I desire to lead you to greater pastures. I desire to lead you into a deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, a deeper move of the Holy Ghost, a deeper touch of the Spirit, a deeper understanding of His Word. That is my desire.
Try your best to tell people, preach it. Come up higher.
Tell people, congregation to congregation I've been to, come up higher.
Spiritually speaking, you can see the bones, you can see the ribs, you can see this target, you can see what they're doing is not working for. Have you been in churches where they're content living on a peace level? They're content living and eating over pastures. But I want to tell you, there's vineyards we've yet to go to. There's grapes you yet to eat up. There's pastures you yet to even see. There's depths in Christ that none of us have experienced. Let's go higher, church. Let's go higher. There's greener grass. I don't know if you ever feel the Holy Ghost do that to you. There's many times I get content eating a certain diet spiritually. You know, I have my devotional. I do this. I go to this meeting. I'm faithful to church. And I really set a season aside of prayer and in some fasting. The Holy Ghost began to assure me, you've yet to see my pastures yet, Derek. You've yet to come up high to where you can just eat of the fruit and be satisfied. I'm satisfied in Christ. Don't get me wrong, but there's a part of me today I'm still reaching for. I'm still wanting more from Him. Understand this today. As a pastor and as a shepherd, we have to help maintain the diet of the flock. When the shepherd would pull these sheep up higher up the ridge lines of the mountains, the next thing he had to do, he had to search out the territory. It said that one shepherd, what he would do, his account of it is this, that he would walk and he would look around for the grass and he would look for holes that were called adder holes. An adder is a poisonous snake in the Bible. He would go and he would begin to look for them holes. He would begin to try to identify where the serpent is. He would begin to try to identify, feeling the holes, trying to scare off the serpent. I want to tell you today, as I'm looking around this congregation, there may be times I'm searching. There may be times I ask questions. There may be times I'm quiet. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking for where that old serpent, the devil, is trying to get access into a church or trying to get access into your heart. You say, Brother Derek, is that your calling? It sure is. You said, is it your calling to be personal? It sure is. I don't mean anything to cross my spirit, but I must seek out and find where the devil tries to get in. Amen. Second thing he had to do, he'd have to graze the pasture and look for poisonous plants. At times in the high weeds underneath of it would be plants that were poisonous, plants that could kill and wound and infect the flock. I'm telling you, I'm looking around this world, and I'm not saying it's here, but I see false doctrine going up everywhere. I see every wind of doctrine. I see every idea of man that's getting popular. I want to tell you today, it's a poisonous plant. It's nothing else but to infect the church. It's trying to make you anemic and weak. It's trying to make it that you cannot survive. The shepherd would go. He'd find that plant. He'd pluck it up by the roots. You hear that? He won't content taking a machete and hacking the top of it off. If sometimes you've got to dig down deep enough when you pull the root out.
The root, that's right.
I dare say, hear me, that a lot of things you witness in this world, it's just the fruit of the problem. It's not the root.
That's right.
Hear me. I've been to prison houses, brother, and I've seen them before, and I look and they had an attitude or had a crossway spirit, and I begin to delve a little deeper, come to find out that's just the fruit of it.
Yeah.
And they'll say, when I was younger, when this happened to me in this stage of life, and there you begin to find the root. So the shepherd would go around. He'd begin to look for the adder holes, the serpent holes. He'd begin to look for the poisonous plants. Understand this, friend. There was many shepherds that were secure in the lower pastures. But come to find out, their flock was anemic. Their flock was weak. So I'll tell you today, friend, let's climb higher. Let's do more for Jesus Christ. Let's reach out more than we ever had before. Let's go to deeper depths of our Lord Jesus Christ. You said, Brother Derek, that's none of your business. You get bit by the serpent if you want to. But there's many that's died.
Amen.
Brother Derek, I think I can partake of that. Better watch out.
Uh-huh.
It may be sweet in your tongue, but it may mess you all up in the end. I'm telling you, friend. I just bear with me today. I feel this in my spirit today. I want you to understand, as a shepherd, the sheep are always at risk. Not only that, you'll read in Psalms 23, it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." This is that part of the pastoral duty. This is that part of the shepherding where you learn to take care and take precaution with the sheep. The oil served for three different purposes for a shepherd. The first thing it did, it was to repel insects. The second thing it was to do, to prevent conflict. And the third thing it did, it was to heal wounds.
Mm-hmm. Understand that as a shepherd in those times, there were certain flies, certain insects that would torment cattle and sheep. This one fly that I read about would actually get into the soft tissue of the lamb's nose and begin to lay eggs. And eventually it would irritate that lamb so much that they said at times you could find a ram or you could find that ewe lamb. It was over there in a tree about to beat its brains out against the tree.
I've seen it in church. Come on. Where something infects you so much that you beat, you thrash, you're discouraged, you're depressed. Understand me today.
But what the shepherd would do is in the beginning of that season, he would take that lamb aside, he would take that oil, he'd begin to rub it all over the head of that lamb, and that oil there, and the fragrance of that oil would act as a repellent against those insects that was trying to discourage and drive them lambs crazy. Hear me today, friend. You may be here, you're looking for peace. You may be here, you're looking for joy. You may be here and say, "It's just about to drive me crazy." Let me tell you about there's an oil, there's an anointing, there's a word from heaven that can act as a repellent against the enemy.
Hear me today. Second thing it did, it was to prevent conflict.
During mating season, during sheep's and lambs and all those,
rams would, I guess, get rambunctious. And they'd fight. They would.
They would begin to knock heads. They'd begin to fight each other.
I read of a shepherd, what he would do, he would take oil, he would take a certain grease and oil, then he would rub it over the head of those rams, that at times, that when they were about to butt heads, they'd graze off each other.
Boy, we need that in the church.
But I wish it was something I could just wear myself. Now, I'm a lamb myself now, come on. That where words would just slide right off, you know? But to be honest with you, sometimes they stick right to me. And I come from my little cave of despair, bleeding and whining. And I've had to have the Master Shepherd rub that sweet anointing oil on my head a few times. And the next time that same enemy came by and threw the words at me again, I was able to smile and say, "God bless you." Amen. Hear me today, friend. You know, when we see, I've seen in congregations, I can't speak for you once again. Don't think that the shoe fits, put it on and wear it. It's all right. But I've seen here, but understand, I've been to a few congregations that I've seen a rift. I've seen division. I've seen the way the Holy Ghost could not pour out His full provision simply because there was division and strife. But there's an anointing oil. There's that oil that the shepherd can anoint us with through His Word that can help you avoid conflict. Third thing it was used for was to heal wounds. We all know this. Sheep often got hurt by just simply living in the pasture. Thorn pricks, rock cuts, and fighting. The shepherd used to make a daily inspection of his flock. It's not that they were bad people, but it's just the consequences of living in this world. They're just simply living in the pasture. There's things that hit them that they don't even know is coming. There's thorn bushes they didn't see. There's rocks that they stepped on they didn't know about. You know, we look around this world and sometimes we wonder, why am I facing this? Why is this scar wound here? It doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. It is just the consequences of living in a fallen world. The shepherd would make a daily inspection of the sheep. He would look. Let me tell you what God wants to do for each and every one of us. Every day He wants to make an inspection in your life. And He wants to start telling you, be careful in this area. Be careful in that area. And there may be times that God uses me in this situation or this scenario. He uses me simply maybe to say something. Or uses another minister. Or uses one of the board members. Or uses a song leader as acting as a form of a shepherd to pour in the oil and the wine to help see you healed. You know how many people are walking around the church world bleeding? You know how many people that have been forsaken by spouses that are wounded so deep they don't feel like they can make it? You know how many people have been abused in the church world and through this world? You know what they need? You need to be healed. If you can't come to the house of God and get healed, it's false advertising. This is the Abundant Life Tabernacle. There's a better life than sin. There's a better life. You say, Brother Deck, I was done wrong. I'm telling you, there's a place, there's an oil that can flow over you, that can wash it all away. You say, you don't know what happened to me. I'm telling you, there's a fountain, there's blood, and there's the blood of Jesus. There's anointing that can heal your even deepest wounds. Hear me today. God the shepherd does not want today's wounds to become tomorrow's infections. I'm going to say that again. Me as a pastor, Brother Glenn as a senior pastor in this church, he does not want today's wounds to become tomorrow's infections. How many times have we neglected something in our life and only not fought the road because we didn't pray through about it, didn't go to the altar? Or we passed off the Sunday service and said, well, I just didn't get in today. I didn't feel it. We're walking by faith, friend. The word comes forth, you react to it. Hear me. How many days has a little wound become an infection? I read of a man one time that had got, he was working and doing some yard work with his neighbor. And his neighbor went to lift the shovel up and hit something and hit his arm and gashed his arm open real, real deep. He went to the hospital, got it wrapped up, got the ointment put on it, and it was a deep gash, stitches. All this, and the doctor told him, keep it wrapped up and don't unwrap it for this long. Well, he went home. Not only was he hurting his arm, but he was mad at his neighbor. So-and-so came by to see him and say, how you doing? I'll tell you how I'm doing. Look at that gash on my arm. Man, that's bad. Yeah, that sorry scoundrel over there did it. Wrapped it back up. A few hours later, somebody came, how you doing? Ho-ho-ho! You want to see how I'm doing? He wasn't lying. Is this how the story's told? It wasn't but so long before infection began to set in. He most likely went on and got healed later on and all that, or got better later on. But when he went back to the doctor told him, I told you to leave the ointment on it, to leave the oil on it, to keep it bandaged up. I'm telling you, church, you may come here this morning. The word of my word of God may touch your heart. You may react to it by faith. God may do a work in your spirit. But let the shepherd keep the bandage. To just own your life. Amen. Hear me today. The final operation of the shepherd is this. He was there. And the final sign of vulnerable sheep is this. The waiting predators. There is always a predator waiting. Hear me. You think I hear me? I was in a service just last week where a lesbian came to an altar. And they said they felt about 12 spirits leave her. There's predators out there, young people and adults alike. Hear me. Don't you think this is a game? But there's a certain boldness that has to be here. Don't you think that the enemy's here playing for keeps?
Amen. Yes, sir.
That young girl I'm talking about, raised in Holiness Church, dad's a preacher. I'm just telling you how it is. You don't think that they tried their best to ward off the enemy of her soul? As I'm telling you, friend, outside of the walls of this church, I'm telling you, there's an enemy out there. Every day you go home, every day you're by yourself, and you feel that temptation. I'm telling you, friend, you better listen to the shepherds that are in your life, no matter who it is. If it be a mother or a father, if it be the pastor of the church, if it be the song leader, if it be the youth leader, let the shepherd do his work.
Yeah. Amen.
Hear me, predators are always waiting. This is what you must understand today. It says there's a constant danger, understand. That's why 1 Peter says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. And I understand it says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now going back to my text, I want you to get this. Look at the boldness of your enemy. I'd be a fool to sit up here today and to be so casual that I wouldn't preach that there's a certain urgency in the hour. If you're lost here today, Jesus loves you. And you can get born again. You say, Brother Derek, is that it's very necessary? Why are you saying that? Because we got a bold enemy. If you need deliverance today, in Christ, there's deliverance. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can get it. If you need a closer walk with Christ, you can get it. Understand here, 1 Samuel 17 and 34, and David said unto Saul, the servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. He didn't care that the shepherd was there. Hear me. That predator didn't care that the shepherd was there or not. He could have cared less. You say, well, I go to church on Sunday morning. I'm all right. You think the devil? You think the devil's scared of you going to church? You think the devil's scared that you have a pastor? The Bible says, David said, this lion came out. I was standing right there and he snatched up one of my sheep. Right in front of my face. Hear me. But understand, there was a bold enemy. You must understand there are demonic workings orchestrated by the prince of hell that are relentless in their attack against the flock of God. They are after God's children. Every one of you in this building today, you're a target for an attack of the enemy. Hear me today. But then it comes, and then the scripture points to me. David said, I was standing there. And I've seen it come out. I've seen it take my lamb. Next point I want to touch on is this. The shepherd must always be alert. Hear me. You can read it throughout the Bible of the certain alertness of shepherds. You would find in Genesis 31 and 40 when Jacob is talking to Laban, he says this, thus I was in the day and the day when the drought consumed me and the frost by night and my sleep departed from my eyes. He was saying, I still watch my sheep. So before this congregation today, I'll admit to you this. I've got to be alert. I've got to be on my P's and Q's, so to speak. And I'm watching. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm seeking God. I'm taking commands. I've got to be alert. You say, Brother Jack, I'd rather you not never deal with something maybe that I'm doing, but you've got to understand, I see the teeth marks, I see the claws, and I hear the roar of the enemy. It's my job. It's my position in Christ to do it. The shepherd must always be alert. He said, in the day, in the drought, when the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and in the violent heat of the daytime scorched me, and in the severe frost of the night, he said, my sleep departed from my eyes. I've listened to my old pastor talk many times. I couldn't sleep last night for this service. I was walking up and down the aisles of the church. Wonder how many nights maybe Brother Glenn. I know he wouldn't brag until I know a humble man. I know, but brother, was there ever a sleepless night? Was there ever a night that you had to fall down and pray and ask God for help and keep your eyes peeled for what's going on? Understand this. He said, I was watching. David, understand. He let us understand this. He said, I was watching. The third thing I'm going to touch on, and I won't be much longer, and that is the simple fact that the invader must be confronted. You don't pretty talk a line.
Come on, man.
Come on. Come on. You look at them videos, YouTube, however you see TV, animals attacking another animal like a lion chasing maybe an impala or something. Good luck getting him to stop. Mm-hmm. You can go up there and have a wonderful speech. He's going to run right past you, and you better be lucky if he don't get you. I don't patty cake with Satan, and I'm not planning to. Sin is sin. I don't like it. I know you got to use wisdom. I'm not foolish in things. I know this. But there's times that the Holy Ghost leads. If the lamb is in the mouth of the lion, you have to be bold against him. You say, Brother Derek, you better hear what I'm telling you today. Because there's been a certain boldness in this world that they don't mind rubbing it in your face nor mine.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
You think the homosexual agenda cares about my pretty talk?
Come on.
You think I can go on Wall Street and say, look here, if I cook you a piece of cake, will you think about stopping?
Come on.
No, I go. And I say, look, there's deliverance in Christ. It's wrong. You've got to stand against it.
Amen.
Hear me. You have to be bold against the invader. The boldness of the predator must be met with the boldness of the shepherd. I know that's not a popular message, but it's the only message that works.
Right.
Hear me. Understand, we read this in 1 Samuel. This is what David said. And I went out after him.
David said, I was standing there, man, minding my own business. He came out, he snatched up one of my lambs.
David said, you know what I did? I went after him. I seen him take the lamb, and before I knew it, I went after him. He said, I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out the mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Went head on into action.
Amen.
Hear me today, friend. The Bible says the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Isn't that bold?
Mm-hmm.
You know that scripture says, and when sin is finished, you want me to tell you what that means? And hear me, everybody. Hear me. When sin starts, it's going to try to finish. It don't take intermission and it don't take water breaks. It's got one purpose. And that's sending you to hell. I'm just being, come on now. It's the truth.
Come on.
Understand this, friend. See it, and when it is finished, understand it says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That shows us that he is bold. But understand what Jesus says. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus was saying, the devil's bold, but so am I.
Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Have you ever dealt with demonic possession before?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it sweet talked.
No, sir.
In Africa, you see the things rise up. And understand, it's nothing to do with a preacher. It's nothing to do with anybody. But guess what? There's a certain boldness in the Holy Ghost that you begin to feel it resonate within you.
On,
and you stand up and you say, no, sir! Not in this house. Hear me today. You understand, it says he came to kill, to steal, destroy, but I have come that he might have life. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Basically what it's saying is this.
I want to talk to you from my heart. I'm talking to you as a pastor this morning. I mean this from the very bottom of my heart. That I'm so concerned with you making it, that with God's help, I'm willing to sacrifice, and I say this with the Lord's help only, I'm willing to sacrifice even my own comfort, my time, my own energy, because I want to see you make it. I mean that from my heart.
Jesus came to earth. He wanted them to make it so bad, he gave his life. I love everyone in this building. God bless you from the bottom of my heart. But hear me today. I feel a boldness of the enemy. But I also feel a certain boldness of the Holy Ghost to rise up.
Hear me today. It says here we understand that that the shepherd who hardens for the deliverance from the lion is not concerned with his own safety or appearance. There's no way to just sweet talk it. This isn't a time to consult with the opinions of others or whether it's safe. When the intruder comes, he must be dealt with.
Yes.
You read in Amos chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, thus saith the Lord. I know this is a prophecy, but it gives you an idea of shepherding. It says this, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs and the piece of an ear. You know what it's saying, brother? There's times you walk on the street
And you look at somebody whose life is in the mouth of that lion, and there ain't nothing left but just a little bit. And you would wonder, is it even worth my time or effort?
But it said the shepherd went after the lion, and all he recovered was two legs and a piece of an ear.
You know what, church, hear me today, because we're a collective group here. There's going to be people who walk through them doors at times. You're going to look at their lives, and you're going to say, it's not even worth the effort or the time.
But I want to tell you, our Master Shepherd, if there ain't nothing but two legs and a ear left, He's saying, go get them. If there ain't nothing but a little bit left, if He's been ravaged and almost destroyed, God wants to salvage what is left.
You may be here today going through it. You say, I don't feel like I'm worth anything. I want to tell you this morning, not only does this shepherd love you, but the Master Shepherd cares. He cares. He loved you so much, He'll come. He made a journey from heaven, come to this world for just this old wretched humanity. And He pulled us out of the mouth of the lion. I won't be much longer. My wife Gary goes to the piano. When I was in Africa, I went to a certain region of Africa called the Rift Valley. An amazing place. You're going down the road and zebras and giraffes are running around. It's just a unique experience. But out there, no electricity. There's no running water. You have the Maasai warriors. And they got the red guard spears and all that. Would you go? We went out to this village about 3 or 4 hours from civilization down this old rough rocky path. And I went there. And I seen this man dressed up with the sword down his side. And he looked at me and said, he is a Maasai warrior. I said, what do you mean a Maasai warrior? They began to explain to me their culture. So last night, him and 5 other men that were warriors, they went and killed a hyena on the back of the village here. He said, because he stole some of their flock. When a Maasai, they don't do it no more, but the traditional Maasai, when you were 18 years old, you had to go kill a lion before you could get married. I probably wouldn't be married today. I doubt I'd be married. But before you're considered a man in that region, you had to learn to fight the lion. I'm going to tell everybody in this building today, before you can advance in Christ and be anything effective for His kingdom, young people, hear me. Before you do anything in life, make decisions, learn to fight the lion. But what stood out to me about that, it says, when I was over there and talking to them, they said when that hyena came after one of their flock, they didn't stop until they killed him. They didn't stop until they killed him. They're that, if heathens are that bold, how foolish would the church of Jesus Christ be not to be bold in Christ? How foolish would that be? If you would, those that are able-bodied, stand to your feet.